Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Broad. I'm a general internist and medical director of the post-COVID-19 program at UT Health Austin. Today, I'm here to talk about fatigue and practical management in primary care as part of the Council of Medical Specialty Societies Long COVID Education, Engagement, and Care Management program, which is part of a larger expert panel, which I am lucky to be among such esteemed colleagues. And so today I really want to talk about fatigue, which is a central and core feature of long COVID. And for many patients, it's the most disabling part of the illness. So when it comes to managing fatigue, the first thing is to recognize that fatigue is the single most common and disabling symptom in long COVID. It is usually multidimensional, physical, cognitive, emotional. Patients often tell me it's not just tiredness. It feels like my body battery is drained and I cannot recharge. What makes this fatigue usually more unique, or what is more specific to long COVID, is its association with post-exertional malaise. Light activity like cooking a meal, answering emails, can cause patients to feel profound exhaustion or post-exertional symptom exacerbation, which can last for days. This overlaps closely with myalgic encephalitis or chronic fatigue syndrome, which the National Academy of Medicine defines MECFS as profound fatigue lasting more than 6 months, accompanied with a post-exertional malaise, unrefreshing sleep, and either cognitive impairment or orthostatic intolerance. This is important because this overlap validates the patient's experience and gives us a little bit of a roadmap. It is increasingly recognized that long COVID and ME/CFS have very similar symptoms and biologic underpinnings. It's not just being tired. The best prevalence data about long COVID fatigue is from the RECOVER prospective trial, which has about 14,000 participants, including uninfected controls. Among those who met the long COVID definition, 85% of patients reported fatigue, and that was almost universal in the severe subgroup at 95%. Post-exertional malaise was actually the most common symptom reported overall at 87%. Once again, emphasizing their close relationship in these patients. Now, fatigue is nonspecific, even if the symptom is almost universal. And so I think what is important when working up these patients is to screen them for alternative etiologies based on their health history, comorbidities, risk factors. But if the fatigue is clearly tied to an onset and change in functional ability following the COVID-19 illness, tied to other common symptoms like orthostatic intolerance, cognitive problems, the post-exertional malaise, it fits that long COVID pattern. And I think a basic workup ruling common things, anemia, thyroid dysfunction, vitamin deficiencies, or even endocrine abnormalities, doing a small workup is sufficient. Although if there are abnormal features or fatigue is a secondary problem, may make you want to search more in depth for alternative etiologies. Practically, though, for severity tracking, and if you're worried or if you want to get more objective measures, we do recommend using some objective scales like the fatigue severity scale, PROMIS fatigue, or even a 6-minute walk test to help document their symptoms and severity. The most important part about treating long COVID fatigue is counseling, and I would say the foundation management rests on managing that energy. Patients typically fall into a crash and recover cycle. They push through on good days, they crash, then as soon as they start feeling better, they push and crash again. Breaking that cycle can make a profound difference. And I usually counsel patients in depth to recognize the symptoms of when they're about to experiencing post-exertional malaise and managing their energy in a very practical manner. What I like to talk about is the 4 P's, a simple framework that tells patients to prioritize what really matters to them. Not everything can get done, so reorienting their relationship to the illness, pace themselves through the activities before they get a symptom flare, position tasks to conserve energy, and just plan the day, recognizing that they are going to have fatigue and that they are going to have to potentially limit their activities or rest when they feel those warning signs. For patients who have some reserve, intentional rehabilitation can be very important. This is not graded exercise therapy. Instead, it's symptom-guided, supervised, and individualized to their functional capacity. Patients should not push through, and it should be highly individualized to what they can handle. In most cases, a trained physical therapist or other rehabilitative specialist can help really individualize it for a patient. Now, pharmacologic therapy is not first line, but it can be supportive. Options are typically medications that have activating effect like amantadine, bupropion, or using stimulants like modafinil or methylphenidate. The key message when I prescribe, though, is that these may increase their energy, but they don't limit their experience of post-exertional malaise. So even if they get more energy, pacing still remains fundamental because you don't want them to overdo it. They are not a substitute for pacing. And as always, as in good practice, it's important to start low, go up, titrating slowly, and then reassessing, especially monitoring their sleep, mood, blood pressure, and overall functioning. So the key takeaways of managing fatigue is to say it is the most common and disabling symptom of long COVID. Always ask about its relationship to post-exertional malaise, and it is usually tied into many of the other diffuse symptoms. Keep the evaluation targeted, rule out common other causes unless they have a typical presentation. The treatment should be centered on energy management, educating the patient on pacing and the four Ps, and addressing their comorbidities like sleep apnea, depression, autonomic dysfunction. The pharmacology may help, but it should not replace the pacing. And finally, avoiding pitfalls like not asking about post-exertional malaise, assuming it's just deconditioning and recommending traditional graded exercise, or really jumping to polypharmacy too soon. Thank you for the opportunity to discuss fatigue. It is real, it is disabling, and even just small counseling or pharmacologic management can make a profound impact in patients' lives. Thank you.
For more information and resources, please visit the CMSS website at cmss.org.